double portion power. Let's go to verse 9 of that chapter. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Every verse that I have read is full of revelation knowledge. And as I look at God's word, it seems like God doesn't waste anything. God does not waste one word. And so I would like to share with you in this service how to receive God's double portion power. I experienced in my life Satan's double portion power before I came to Jesus. And it almost killed me. Only the grace of God rescued my life. Only the grace of God turned the life of Pastor Bob Nichols around. So I was the recipient of and the benefactor of the double portion of the evil one. It was a double portion of fear. It was a double portion of hatred. It was a double portion of uncertainty. It was a double portion of inferiority. It was a double portion of everything that steals and kills and destroys. But when I came to Jesus, and ever since I've come to Jesus, there has been a quest in my heart to have everything that God has for me. You'd think after these years that you could say, well, you've arrived. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm still on the journey. And I believe with all of my heart that it's more than a little saying, the best is yet to come. It really is true for those who have faith in God, the best is yet to come. So I experienced Satan's double portion before I gave my life to Jesus. And ever since I've been saved, I've desired all of God's power that was available for me. In fact, I say what I think that Elisha must have said, why not? Why not? You want the best of everything else? You want to drive the best, live the best, earn the best, eat the best, travel the best? We like the best in everything else. And I believe God's looking for those who have a heart hunger for more of God. Why not? This was Elijah's great desire in his pursuit, and it's recorded here in 2 Kings, the second chapter. I want to share some things with you that the Spirit of the Lord made real to me, and I believe that God will make them to become real or more real in your own life. How do we receive more of God? How do we receive God's double portion power? To me, it's right here, very clearly laid out in 2 Kings, the second chapter. First of all, as we look at the life of Elijah, you stay close to who and where you are called. You stay close to who and to where you were called. Jesus, yes. But also God uses people on this earth. There was Moses and Aaron. There was Joshua. But there was Moses. And you just go through the Word of God and you see God bringing people together and the powerful thing that came out of that. Elisha discovered very quickly that if he was going to have the desire of his heart, though he had never mentioned it to Elijah, there was something that God let him understand, that you stay close to who and you stay close to where you are called. I can look back and see the benefits of this throughout my life. I have just returned from seeing one of the great amplifications of this ministry. I've just returned and seeing a church where more people are being saved than ever before. The Christian school is going stronger than ever before. The opposition is left and God's brought in the glorious unity of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, the joy of praise and worship, the excellence that was in the house, is stronger than I've seen it in 20 years that I've been going to that church. Why? Because you stay close to who and where you are called. The spirit of revival that was in this house, there was a transfer of the anointing of God to that house. The spirit of prayer that was quickened in this house, there was a transfer of anointing to that house. The spirit of being a father to younger ministers was transferred from this house to that house. Ministers from across Canada had come in just to be there. Just to be there, not to preach, just to be there. Canada's just as many miles as it is to travel in the U.S., You travel from Los Angeles to New England, that's a long journey. That'll take you a few hours. And the same thing is true in Canada. You come from the furthermost parts of Canada. But you stay close to who and to where you are called. One young minister told me that the pastor that he was under fell into a moral failure, and that the church fell upon his shoulders. That this pastor had come in and encouraged and helped and stood in the hedge and made up the gap. And he said, after 2 years, now we're running stronger than we were before. Because he said, I've learned that you draw from the anointing. Do not be distracted by others who are not called. You see, the school of the prophets, they kept saying, don't go, don't go, don't go. School of Prophets can always find reasons for you not to stay close to who and to where God called you. Oh, they were religious, but something wasn't working with them. They never quite got it, did they? The School of the Prophets of that day and time never really got what was deposited in Elisha's heart. This thing is burning in my heart. You see, Peter got into trouble by being by the wrong fire. You say, well, all fire is the same. Oh, no, it's not. No, all fire is not the same. Peter found there's a fire that'll get you in trouble. And before long, he was not only denying the Lord, but speaking in a way that probably even shocked Peter as he was a part of it. Well, there's a happy side. We're on the glory side here, because we're talking about how to receive God's double portion power. I mean, from the moment that mantle was dropped upon the shoulders of Elisha and he realized who he had been called to become associated with, I believe there was something every day of his life. He said, the day will come, the hour will come, the minute will come, the second will come when I'm going to have the opportunity of my life and I'm going to request the double portion of this mighty man of God. Stay close to who and where you are called. Do not be distracted by the naysayers or by the school of the prophets. Don't stay by the wrong fire, because all fires are not the same. Now here's another one that's really exciting. Let your vision be single and focused. One of the greatest challenges of my life and ministry has been to keep my vision single and focused. You can't do everything. You can't go everywhere. What I mean, you can't just run off in all directions. You must stay focused. You must stay focused on what God's called you to do. Let your vision be single and let it be focused. You see, when the opportunity came and when Elisha asked and requested the double portion, the prophet of God said, Elijah said, if you see me when I go away, if you see me, if you see me. Oh, come on, preacher. You mean when he laid hands on him? No, he said, if you see me. If you see me, you see, seeing demands that we pay attention. I tell you, God's placed men of God in my life at different times and seasons. Man, I watched every move they made. I don't mean that every move we make is that strategic. I don't mean that at all. But I mean, I watched, and I could call some names of some very famous men of God that came in on that platform. Because, see, this is another thing that happens. Not only when you're who and where you should be, but you see, there's a power of association that comes through that. There's a power of observation. And really, the anointing comes through association with the Lord for sure, but also with anointed leaders and servants of God. And you say, well, Brother Nichols, you mean sometimes services are quiet. That's because we need to sit and soak. Everything wasn't fireworks 24 hours a day with Elijah either. I mean, that man sometimes didn't say a word for a long time. I don't think Elijah was very complimentary. Maybe he was, but I don't think he was. Elijah was just, he was rugged. I mean, you had to love the man to flow with the man. But he said, if you see me when I go away. Now, why did he say that? Because two visions is division. Two visions is division. I believe very strongly in having a New Testament team working with me, but I believe very strongly there must be a pastor called of God. And that's where it all goes back to. And then as we flow together, it all works good. But two visions is division. If you see me when I go away. So what are we learning as we're observing the life of Elisha? We stay close to who and to where we are called. And we stay single vision in our vision and focused. Because he said, if you see me when I go away. He didn't have a clue except in his heart. Now, I don't even know if he knew even at that. He didn't say, now on a certain day I'll be going away. In fact, Elijah did everything in the world to discourage Elisha. Because he knew the responsibility of the anointing. He knew the responsibility of the power and the anointing of God. And so Elisha, on good days and bad days, slow days and happy days, trying days and triumph days, he kept his eyes on the man of God. I believe if they were out sleeping under the elements, under the sun, under the moon, I believe every once in a while he'd wake up, he'd look over and be sure Elijah was still there. Oh, I believe that with all of my heart. I believe he watched with all that was within him because he kept his vision single and focused. There's a third insight that I see as we're talking about how to receive God's double portion power. And that is, Elisha was not only close to, but Elisha stood with Elijah. Stood with. Folks, these are not words that I'm playing with tonight. Notice in the second chapter of 2 Kings, verses 7 and 11. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Who too? Which two? They two stood by Jordan. Now the 50 sons of the prophets, I mean, they were holding their own seminar over here somewhere. And they stood afar off. But Elijah and Elisha was right there with him. He was not only close to Elijah, he stood with Elijah. He stood with Elijah. And they two, verse 11, notice that. And it came to pass as they still went on it. Huh, what? Still went on. and taught that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. But you see, they still went on and they talked. They're together. School of the prophets are somewhere else. They're afar off. But you see, they still went on and they talked. He was not only close to Elijah, he stood with Elijah. And they too stood by Jordan. You say, what is the significance of this? Well, let's look at the results. Because as we go further, we notice the twin blessings of closeness. The twin blessings of closeness. You see, there came a time literally when the prophet of God said, ask what you will. Seems like someone else said that. His name was Jesus. If you ask anything according to my will, ask anything in my name. Anything. If you ask anything, there came a time and there came a place when the twin blessings of closeness manifested. When he said, ask what you will, you see, there's the privilege of prayer. The twin blessings of closeness are not only asking what you will, but also the double portion of God's Spirit. Because the greater anointing comes through association with the Lord, to be sure, but also with the anointed servants of God. I have anointings in my life tonight that I've received over the years. I could call the name of certain men of God, but at certain times and at certain seasons, my faith went out and there was an anointing of God that was received into my life that is resident in my life tonight. I'm conscious of it every day that I live and every week that I minister or pastor. The twin blessings of closeness. Ask what you will. Ask what you will. Imagine this rugged prophet of God looking you in the eye with fire in his eyes and saying, ask me what you will. You better know what you're going to ask him or you'll forget it. I mean, you didn't mess with this man. Because we discovered a few verses before that. You remember a king decided he was going to play with the servant of God? Ungodly rascal. He sent out 50 of his choice soldiers. And you know what they said to the man of God? Come out and come down. Well, they didn't go home. Not the way they came. 50 choice soldiers of the kingdom. They were gone. They were history. Well, they sent 50 more. These were just as arrogant as the first. Well, arrogant, I think not arrogant. I think they were ignorant. They thought you could play with the anointing. They thought you could just manipulate the anointing. I mean, who is this man of the cloth? Who is this wild man, Elijah? There's 50 of us and one of him. And they came with the same thing. Come down, man of God. Come down. Man, they didn't know what they were getting into. In fact, that's the last thing they remembered on earth. 50 more. Gone. Toast. History. In eternity. Really, I'm telling you. You know, this world doesn't realize the blessing they have in all the believers and the churches and the men and the women of God across this land. We're not an unnecessary evil. We're salt and we're light. I said we're salt and we're light. I said we are salt and we are light. And believers are the hope of any nation. No matter what that nation may be. Canada, U.S., Australia, United Kingdom. Wherever you go, the believers of that nation are the hope of that nation. The government may not think so, and sometimes the churches may not think so, because all churches do not have the same revelation in that respect. But the only hope of our nation, and I thank God for the military, I thank God for our president, I thank God, I think he's doing a marvelous job. He'd do a lot better job if you pray for him more. Need to pray for him every day. But folks, do not be deceived. It's not our fast jet airplanes. It's not our bombs and our guns and our bullets. It's not the expertise of our army. It's the anointing of God that's going to bring us through. It's not just our military expertise. We're fighting in wars and we're fighting in lands. I mean, we're, bless our soldiers' hearts. I mean, in Vietnam, they were in a foreign land. Not only a foreign land, but it was a strange land to fight a war. The same thing they're facing overseas today. But oh, notice this man Elijah. They sent 50 more out. Now we're getting wiser here. It's an interesting thing because the third 50 came out over in 2 Kings, the first chapter, verse 13. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came. I want you to notice how you receive from God, or at least how you receive the grace of God. He fell on his knees. No arrogance. No, come down quick. He not only said, come down. They said, come down quickly. Elijah said, I don't think so. In the two previous 50, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. You say, I don't understand that. It's none of your business. You better leave it alone. There was something there that crossed a line. I said, there was something there that crossed a line. Something there that crossed a line. And you know, as you read through the Old Testament, there's a lot of things I don't understand as I read through the Old Testament. But if I don't understand it, I just say, I'm a believer. I'm on the side of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not on the side of those that speak to Elijah and say, come down quickly. Well, the third 50 came out, and the captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. And besought him. He not only fell on his knees, but he spoke in an humble way to him. And he said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord came unto Elijah. And he said, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. I'm going to tell you, this Elijah was something else. This man was something else. You see, he had the power of God operating in his life. He wasn't afraid of armies. He wasn't afraid of kings. Got afraid of Jezebel, but he got over it. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, she's enough to make you afraid if you didn't have the faith of God operating in your heart. But the twin blessings of closeness, if you just keep following, there'll be a day when you'll hear that voice. You know, that's not a verse you grab onto every day because we'd be spoiled rotten. I'll tell you what, but when that word becomes rhema in your heart, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Ask what you will and you shall have. And then secondly, the double portion. Now there's two more. Maybe three more that I would like to share with you if we have just a few moments here. We're talking about how to receive God's double portion power. Folks, if you're a born-again believer, you should be hungry for God. I mean, revival should not be an oddity. Revival is not a sideshow. The real spirit of revival, I'm affected for life. I saw this as a child. I saw this growing up. And it seemed like the days of real revival maybe had waned in some way. But oh, we've seen the fire of God. We've felt the wind of God. We've felt the earthquake of God. We have seen the miracles of God. You can't deny it when you've been there and when you've seen it. I'm hungry for more of God. That chorus is a part of my very life. I'm hungry for more of God. And God's instructed me to do some ministry just like this to get our hearts ready for a higher level of the anointing and the revival of God. Some churches are very active, and I mean, there's something just going a mile a minute, and when they get through with it, they don't have a clue what went on. It was just a lot of excitement, a lot of emotion, you know. But oh, it goes, revival is not just the stirring of emotions. It's not just a giddy feeling. Revival is something that is birthed from the heart of God into our heart. It's a hunger that can only be satisfied with more of the Lord. So we're talking about how to receive God's double portion power. The fifth thing that I would call your attention is we're looking in 2 Kings, the second chapter. And that is to take up the mantle that is at your hand. You know, this is one of the most misunderstood things in ministry. If I could just go somewhere else, there would be a mantle for me. The secret to it is take up the mantle that is by your hand. Do what you can do. If you will not witness in Fort Worth or Dallas, you'll never witness somewhere else. If you cannot live for God at home, don't export it. If you're not faithful to God, no one else will want what you have. Folks, we need to pick up the mantle where we are. Do what you can do. There's something that every one of us can do. And there's something that's been quickening my heart. I want you to start believing with Pastor Bob Nichols for another great, beautiful move of God. For Gate Beautiful was not an evangelist come to town. Gate Beautiful was not a prayer line. Gate Beautiful was not a special seminar service. It was just a morning prayer meeting. And Peter and John were on their way to the hour of prayer. And it just so happened while they were on their way to pray that there was a man that was begging alms. And they could have said, "Excuse me, sir, I'm late to church. Excuse me, I'm going to be late to the prayer meeting. Excuse me, sir, I don't have time. If you're still there when we get out, we'll talk about this alms thing." But Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, never be too busy to pick up the mantle where you are. Never be too busy to pick up the mantle of opportunity. Never be too busy to pick up the mantle of praying for the sick. Witnessing to someone that needs the saving power of Jesus. Folks, everywhere we are, there's a mantle to pick up. You say, "Well, if I could just go to China, I know my mantle will be in China." No, if you don't pick up the mantle where you are, forget about it being anywhere else. You bloom where you're planted. You do what is at your hand to do. At Gate Beautiful, there was an opportunity. Sure, they went on in to pray, but instead of two, now there's three. And can't you imagine what kind of prayer meeting they had that morning? Because this man was picking them up and laying them down. I mean, he was dancing, and this man that was known to be the cripple at Gate Beautiful now comes in arm with Peter and John. Oh, dear Lord, have mercy. What a prayer meeting. I don't believe they got much praying done that morning. I believe it was time to sing praises unto God. I believe it was time to shout the shout of victory. Because the man that was lame has now come into the temple. Oh, learn to take up the mantle at your hand. It's interesting to notice that he tore up his own mantle and picked up the new mantle. Some folks can't do that. Some folks can't do that. But he tore up his own mantle. Tore it in two pieces. I mean, he made sure he wouldn't wear that one again. He got rid of the old so he could pick up the new. He let go of the old so he could pick up the new. His mercies are new every morning. Listen to me. You think you know the ways of God. God has so many ways that none of us have ever really had a clue about who God is. Completely, but we're on the way. He let go of the old and he picked up the new. Take up the mantle at your hand. There's a sixth insight that is so powerful here. And I've in one way already said it, but put the anointing to work where you are. Put the anointing to work where you are. You know, if you just be quiet, people will give you an open door of what to do. In fact, if you can wear through the first intro, you know, if one of the best ways to witness or to minister, you have to kind of get your faith on the line, but you know, you just shake someone's hand, you say, "How are you doing today?" And a lot of times they'll tell you, have a child on drugs. A lot of trouble at home. Got some bills I can't pay. I know this is the job market, but you asked, man. I mean, I'm going through some tough stuff. Oh, well, let me pray with you about it. It takes a very hard heart. Sometimes they will, but very few people will refuse you praying with them. Very few people. How are you doing? And if they think you really care. I said, if they think you really care, a lot of times they'll tell you. And when they tell you, you don't have to conjure up all these five steps or six steps or three steps to witness. I mean, just, you know, that's the most simple and profound thing you can say. Could I pray for you? Now, the easy thing would be, oh, I'm sorry, brother. I'll be praying for you somewhere, some way, somehow. Count on me, though you may never see me again. But you see, you're there. You're there. How are you doing? It's amazing how complicated some people's lives are. But oh, thank God we're the answer people. We're the salt and light people. You got a problem? We serve the problem solver. Sick in your body? We serve the healer. Trying to get through a hangover? Hey, I know something better than that. Let me tell you about the new wine. Oh, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. Oh, that is so good. Put the anointing to work where you are, at school, at work, at play. People need Jesus everywhere you go. Put the anointing to work where you are. Now, I've been sharing with you some ways to receive God's double portion power. First of all, stay close to who and to where you're called. Secondly, let your vision be single and focused. Thirdly, not only be close to the man of God or the anointing of God, but stand with that man as Elisha did. And then the twin blessings of closeness will come to you. I tell you, you cannot walk with God without the twin blessings of closeness manifesting. Draw nigh to God. He said, I'll draw nigh to you. It's just that profoundly promised in the Word of God. And then we've already talked about taking up your mantle. Take up the mantle that is at your hand. Finally, putting the anointing to work where you are. But there's another aspect of receiving God's double portion power. You've got to become a God chaser. Now, let me classify what I just got through saying, because, I mean, that can go many different directions. First of all, I have God inside of me. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. But I'm telling you, some believers are amazingly boring, even though Christ lives within them. In fact, if you didn't have inside information that Christ lived within them, you'd never have a clue. I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for more of God. I'm hungry for a greater measure of God's power in my life. I'm hungry for a greater measure of God's power in the church that I pastor. I'm hungry to see a greater measure of God's power in our Bible school, in our Christian school, in our music, in our singles, in our youth, in our college and career, in our outreach. God help us. We're not just going through the motions. I want to see a higher and a stronger wave of God's Spirit. Not business as usual, but I'm hungry for God. Some have called it being a God chaser. You can call it whatever you want to, but it simply means you don't sit here and say, well, if God wants to do anything for me, He knows where I live. He can just come do what He wants to do. You've watched these prayer lines many times. I remember, I've heard this more than once. I've heard it many times, and it scares me when I hear it. It's still, very few things scare me, but it scares me. And I've seen some precious people in this church hang around here for years and never really get it. And then one day, things are very serious for them physically. And I could think of half a dozen cases. I don't want to even go any further than that. But let's say I've got problems in my body. And you do your best to stir up faith in people's life. You do your best to stir people up, and they give you religious answers. Oh, I know God is able. You're not saying a thing there. And then the bottom line, the thing that really frightens me, well, just whatever God wants for me. I mean, you're already in trouble. You're already in trouble, and if you don't have a miracle, you're history. And then say, well, just whatever God has for me. And I mean precious people. People that love their husbands or wives. People that love their children or their grandchildren. Precious people. Oh, you talk about breaking a pastor's heart. Well, just whatever God has for them. You know they don't have a clue what the Word of God says about their situation. And they don't have a clue about digging in deeper. Many times they want everybody to pray for them, but everybody praying for you is not the answer. There's a time and there's a moment and there's a place when it's the faith of God inside of you that is the only answer to what God has for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, just see, that's an humble, you know, we think that's an humble statement. Well, I just want whatever God has for me. But I'm telling you, as a pastor, many times you see these healing lines. I mean, people come up and they want to give their life history. That's not what it's all about. Well, they want to tell you all the doctors. And if someone asks the question, that's fine. But you know, there's only one thing. That woman with the issue of blood was a God chaser. She believed that Jesus of Nazareth was a healer. And that woman, I don't have any record that she's been to anyone's seminar. I don't have a record that she's heard anyone's tapes or seen anyone's television program or heard anyone's latest teaching. But somehow there was a seed that was planted in that woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. And every effort of the crowd to hold her back was futile and vain, because she had one thing in her spirit. I don't care what anybody says about me. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. It doesn't matter to me whether people understand me, whether I get the seat I want in church, or whether people love me or respect me or understand me. She wasn't worried about anybody understanding her. She said, I've got one thing on my mind. When I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made ever well. One thing. Religious answers aren't enough when your back's against the wall. Religious clichéisms aren't enough when you need a miracle. I'm telling you that nothing in your life and nothing in my life is ever going to change until our vision is single. And we say, this one thing I do. What do you want, blind man? That I may receive my sight. That I may receive my sight. Sir, aren't you interested in anything else? Don't you need groceries in your house? Is your chariot broken down? I mean, what about your job? Do you need a job? He said that I might receive my sight. Because when I receive my sight, everything's going to be all right. I'll be able to do for myself what I desire to do. One thing. How many times did Jesus say it? At least it was said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Not thy wish has made thee whole. Not thy sympathy. Not thy condition has made thee whole. But thy faith has made thee whole. Oh, I haven't seen a faith like this, no, in all of Israel. Folks, God's calling us to that singleness of purpose. Singleness of purpose. I'm telling you, Elisha, I believe the man would have died. You would have had to have killed him to stop him in his tracks. He's going to have a double portion of God's Spirit, and no one's going to stop him. That I might have a double portion. Well, keep your eyes on me. You got it, prophet. Wherever you go, I'm going. Whatever you do, I'm observing you. I'm a part of you, and you're a part of me. You're not going anywhere without me. You see, Elisha could have just been another minister. He could have just marked time in the sands of time. But something was birthed in the heart of Elisha. He said, think of the audacity. Think of the boldness. Think of the... What was it going on in this man's heart when he said, I'll never be satisfied until I have a double portion of what the prophet of God has. The prophet of God said, you've asked a hard thing. Now, you say, is this hard with God? No, 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 no. That's not what it's all about. He just simply saying there's a price to pay. I thought it was grace. It is grace. I thought it was the gift of God. It is the gift of God. But I'm going to tell you, there's a price to the miracle working power of God. There's a price to do the will of God. There's a price to being a vital part of seeing things turn around and seeing what God has for us.